To Acts chapter 15, if you will. Acts chapter 15. And so, as I said when I started this study here and talked to Brother Dilbert about it, I just kind of wanted to not really hit doctrine, just really get into the practical sense of the work of the Lord and what's going on and where all Paul went, why he went, and what he preached. And the thing is, though, as you get to Acts chapter 15, in between his first and second missionary journey, so we wrapped up last week talking about his first missionary journey and ended up there, and he ended up finishing that up there in Acts chapter 14. And there in Acts chapter 15, we're going to be starting here as him getting back, and Acts chapter 16 will start his second missionary journey, which we're going to get to. But in terms of the New Testament, Acts chapter 15 is the most important chapter in church, as far as New Testament church doctrine goes. This gets you from the law of Moses over to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? And there's a lot of false doctrine that's going to start in the previous chapters. And when you go to their church or you talk to them today and you argue with them, they're going to go to Acts chapter 2. They're going to go to Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 11, Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 25. They're going to go to Hebrews, which is another transitional book later on, Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 10. They're going to go to those places there for what? For false doctrine. And so tonight, what you're going to get tonight is you're going to see where the apostles here, they have a meeting. It's not called a council. It wasn't a council of Nicaea. None of that stuff, nothing, no Catholic doctrine. You've got the guys that the Lord was with the Lord for 3.5 years. The revelation of the New Testament was given to the Apostle Paul. Everybody's together here, and they have to decide. Do we keep the law of Moses, or is it just grace through faith? Is it that? What is it? And so tonight, you're going to be able to get all that and figure all that out right here in the chapter, right here in the Bible, God's holy word in the King James Bible. And before we get started here, once again, I'm just gonna have another word of prayer right here. I'm gonna ask Joshua, would you pray for us? Amen. So just to get a running start here in Acts chapter 14, look at verse 26. The Bible says there, and thence sailed to Antioch, and that's where we were at last week. They came back to Antioch, Syria there, and it says, from whence they had begun, which they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled, which was the first missionary journey. So they were returning back to there. And once they got back, verse 27, it says, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples. Now you get to Acts chapter 15, verse 1. The Bible says, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren. So notice this right here. They taught the brethren. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. And so what are they doing? They're teaching the law right there. Right there, they get into the law, and they're going to sit here and say, you've got to be circumcised by like the law of Moses. And they're teaching the law. They're still going to try to teach the law and say, that's how you get saved. You cannot be saved if you're not keeping the law. That's work salvation. That's Judaism. When you look at people like Orthodox Jews, let's take Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro, when it comes to politics, Ben Shapiro's got a lot of good stuff. When it comes to religion, he's wrong, dead wrong. Heard somebody ask him the other day what he thought about Jesus Christ, and he said, I don't think nothing about Jesus Christ. And he said, well, I mean, you know, you believe he's at least he was a good prophet. He said, no, I don't think he's a prophet. He said, I just think he was a rebellious Jew that tried to overthrow the Roman government and got crucified for his troubles. That's what he thinks about Jesus Christ. Nothing. Just another man that messed up and was rebellious, a sinner, obviously. He's an Orthodox Jew. You say, what is that? That's what you have right here in Acts chapter 15, verse 1. Now, the problem is right here, here's the problem, especially in Western civilization America, is humanism gets here and we feel sorry for people and we hate to bother people and we hate to make people feel bad and we get all that stuff in our head and we're not supposed to argue about the Bible and you're not supposed to dispute about the Bible and all those things that you hear growing up, along with every other cliche that you hear that's not in the Bible when you're growing up. And, you know, godliness is next to cleanliness or cleanliness next to godliness, whatever, stuff like that. It's not in the Bible. Here you've got arguing about the Bible. You're getting ready to see some arguing about the Bible. And there's a second business meeting in the New Testament church. The first one was because of an argument. Widows were getting neglected, so they had a meeting in Acts chapter 6, and now they got another problem here in Acts chapter 15, and it's called false doctrine. And the reason that they have false doctrine right here is because they're not going to rightly divide the word of truth. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says this, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, we understand this. Jesus Christ said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." We cannot do nothing apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, from His power. But I'll say this right here. God requires us to do some things. He requires us to study. He requires us to prepare if we're going to preach. He requires us to pray. He requires us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Those are things, and we can't sit down and try to act like we're going to have humble pie and say, "Well, it's not me. I'm not going to study. I'll just let the Lord do it." That's called laziness. It's called being lazy. And you can sit here and say, "Well, I just don't know. Do I believe a Jehovah's Witness? Do I believe a Catholic? I mean, they all got Scripture. They all sound good. Surely God ain't going to hold me accountable." Yeah, He will. He will. What's your job? Your job is to study. Your job is to study and to know what this Bible says. And here in Acts chapter 15, what you have, God's given you the words. He's given you His words on doctrine. And He's given you teachers to teach doctrine. Now, He's called to do things. And you see it right there in the chapter. Barnabas and Paul were teachers. All right, so Acts chapter 15, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." Now, so like I said, they're messed up because they're not rightly dividing the word of truth. Right now on Mondays and Thursdays, I'm teaching the men from the men's home. And what we're doing, we start going through a book called Dispensational Truth, going through the whole book, a book by Clarence Larkin. I know Dr. Ruckman, one of the greatest Bible teachers to ever live, especially in the 20th century. When he got saved, I mean, he's read his Bible. He'd read his Bible. He died when he was 95. He read his Bible through over 150 times, and he's stalwart for the King James Bible being the Word of God. Wrote numerous books, numerous things, led people to the Lord all throughout his whole ministry, and talked about how important it was reading the Word of God. But another thing that he did is he said he read the book of Dispensational Truth through 12 times the first 3 months he was saved. And to just get a basis of doctrine and rightly dividing the word of truth and to figure out what goes where. Because if you talk to a Church of Christ who believes that you have to be baptized to be saved, if you're not baptized, you're not saved. If you talk to one, they're going to take you to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And you know what? It's there. It says, repent and be baptized. It's right there. So then why don't we do it? Because it changed in Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 11 with Peter. And Peter said that you're going to be baptized with John's baptism. Just go to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Get Acts chapter 11 and Acts chapter 1. Just to show you something here. And this is called studying. It's called rightly dividing the word of truth. And here in Acts chapter 15, you're going to learn some things here. You're going to learn that what doctrine is and whether or not you can lose your salvation in Acts chapter 15. And I'm just trying to lay down some stuff here so you can see that the Bible says things different at different places. I mean, we're not supposed to go sacrifice animals. I mean, that's a pretty obvious thing. We don't sacrifice animals no more. Jesus Christ was our sacrifice. He was our lamb. And here in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, he says this, Acts 1, 5. Jesus Christ, right before he gets ready to ascend, right before the ascension, he looks at the apostles, and this is what he tells them. "For John truly baptized with water, But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they were therefore come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Straight over their head. They went straight over their head right there. Acts 1:5, they're sitting there and he tells them, John indeed baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. It happens in Acts chapter 2. You get to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, some Gentiles get saved. And then the Holy Ghost falls on them before they're baptized. So Peter's still saying in Acts chapter 2, you've got to be baptized. When you get to Acts chapter 10, they don't get baptized. And when they don't get baptized, the Lord brings back to his mind Acts chapter 1, verse 5. John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So the baptism you get baptized with when you get saved is a spirit baptism. You get baptized with the Holy Spirit, not water. Look at verse 12, Acts 11, 12. And the Spirit bade me go with them, talking about these Gentiles, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. So they had been told to go get Peter. And he said, Peter's going to do this. Verse 14, angel that he saw, it told him, go get Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. He didn't say, and be baptized. He said, he's going to give you some words, and then that's how you're going to be saved. Verse 15, and as I began to speak, look what it says, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. So he's looking at this thing. They don't get baptized. They get the Holy Spirit. And Peter's looking at this thing while he's preaching. He's thinking, what's going on? And then it says in verse 16, look what it says. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So you say, what is that? That's called a transition. It was transitioning from John's baptism, and it was going into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And a few weeks ago, I taught on the seven baptisms, so it should be kind of fresh. It wasn't the first time anybody's ever preached on seven baptisms, but it wasn't long ago. It was pretty fresh. So the point is this right here. Without looking at Scripture and without seeing what's going on in the book of Acts, you could stay in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. That's what a Church of Christ elder does. They stay in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and they say, if you don't repent and be baptized, you're not saved. You know what they're counting on? They call it baptismal regeneration. Getting in that water tank, and when you get baptized, that's when you get saved. Is that salvation?
No, sir.
No. Brother Jack, are you saying that all the Church of Christ are going to hell? I'm not saying they're all going to hell. I'm saying the ones that believe that right there, they're going to hell. No different than believing you got to live it. No different than any other Mormon religion, Jehovah's Witness religion, Catholic religion, anything else. It's a false religion. In this Bible, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you've got another gospel, you got another Jesus, you got another spirit. There's different ones. You've got a counterfeit scribes. Matthew chapter 24, you've got counterfeit scribes. What's that? That's people that's writing and they're counterfeit. They're false. They're doing it wrong. You've got counterfeit ministers. According to 2 Corinthians 11, you got counterfeit apostles and you got counterfeit teachers. All through the Bible. You say, what is it? As people trying to get you messed up. There's a counterfeit book. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. You know, we talk about all these new versions coming out and all this stuff. It didn't start here in 1881. People say new Bibles started in 1881. Didn't start there. Maybe this last wave did. With two guys named Westcott and Hort. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, that is. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul's writing to the Corinthians. This is what he says. Verse 17. For we are not as many which, what?
Corrupt
the word of God. So as early as Paul's writings there, people were doing what? They were trying to corrupt the word of God. Why? Because Satan don't want you to have the word of God.
Amen.
When you get saved and you get baptized by the Holy Spirit, it's being born again by the word of God, according to Peter. Being born again, not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God.
Amen.
This Bible, the words, not this, not my Bible, not these pages, not this, but the words of God are alive. They're completely alive. Now, this Bible's special to me. I love this Bible. I'm not going to get on the phone and all this stuff and get my Bible out and bring my Bible to go. You say, why not? I said, man, this Bible's been through a lot. Since 1996, man, me and this Bible, I've got answered prayers. I got tear stains in this Bible right here. I've took this Bible street preaching with me in different places. I like my Bible, and I'm going to keep it. But there's nothing special about it. If it burned up tomorrow, God's Word would still be alive. That's heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away is what God said. And here you had counterfeit Bibles, counterfeit Scripture as early as Paul's writings. You say, what are you getting to, Brother Jack? What I'm trying to get you conditioned to understand tonight is this right here. There's a devil, and he's trying to mess you up, and he will use humanism to do it. He'll get you thinking you're trying to be nice because you're not going to argue with somebody, and you're going to let them die in their sins and go to hell because you won't tell them the truth. Okay, go back to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. So they start up this argument here in Acts chapter 15. It says, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. So Paul and Barnabas has been on this trip. This whole trip that we've been talking about. Right? All the way to Seleucia, to Cyprus there with Salamis, over to Perga, over to Pamphylia, up there to Antioch and Pisidia, Lystra, Derbe, Iconium, all those places. All the way back, preaching, people getting saved, preaching salvation by grace through faith, and just coming on with it, and gets back, and they're excited to tell everybody what God's done with the Gentiles. And they do, and these Judaizers, or these Judean Christians here, they look and they say, listen, you got to go by the law of Moses. What do you think that did to Paul and Barnabas? They got them fired up. Sometimes you need to have some passion as a Christian. There's some things that should get your goat. There's some things that should get your goat. You sit here and you hear stuff, you hear false doctrine, you hear somebody lying to somebody. I got to lead that little girl to the Lord last week or the week before on a Friday, and to find out that she went to church and asked a pastor how to get saved and he couldn't lead her to the Lord. That stuff fires me up. And it should get you fired up. You should be thinking, who is that preacher that don't know how to lead somebody to the Lord? Who is that preacher who couldn't tell somebody? I mean, that's a fish jumping right in a boat. And they couldn't tell. She said it just didn't happen. It just didn't happen. And she went back Wednesday night, and the guy hadn't studied enough in 3 days to be able to lead her to the Lord on Wednesday night. Thank God we got some teachers that sacrificed their time and effort to get preachers inside that school so God could set a meeting up for a preacher to come in there and say, thus saith the Lord, this is how you get saved. And that'll fire you up about people that especially a preacher who's supposed to be given to the Word of God and can't tell somebody how to be saved. When I got saved and I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, I went to the altar, I looked at that pastor, and he said, are you saved? After preaching me into hell for a week at a revival, he said, are you saved? And I said, I don't know. And he just turned to the next guy and didn't say a word to me and left me alone. And for years, I was confused and all. I didn't know what was going on. You say, why? Because they didn't know how to do it. They were afraid to do it. You say, what is it? You look at verse 2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, what's dissension? What is dissension? Well, here's what the dictionary says. Dissension. It is a disagreement in opinion, usually a disagreement which is violent, producing warm debates or angry words, contention in words, strife, discord, quarrel, breach of friendship and union. You ain't supposed to argue about the Bible. Well, Paul did. Not just dissension, but disputation. Look at that. You say, what's he doing? It says, there was no small dissension. It wasn't like a little small disagreement. It wasn't small. This was a blowout right here. Paul saying, listen, I spent 3 years on the backside of the desert. God showed me how the New Testament's going to work, and you're not going to mess anybody up. He should just have a little more compassion. He had passion. Is what he had, and that's what we ought to have. And it says there in verse 2, he says, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them, stuff just, is funny to me. I sit here and think of stuff like this right here, and they're going off, and these guys are looking at Barnabas, and they're like, man, we got to do something. Let's get them down there to Jerusalem with Peter. Peter's fired up. Peter fired them back up. Look what he says. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church. What's that say? What's that mean? That means somebody's helping them along financially. They're saying, hey, these missionaries, they don't have a job like everybody else has got. They showed up at our church. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to take care of them. They're getting down the road. We need to be checking on if they can get down the road or not. So they're helping them down the road. That's what it says. They passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Excuse me. And it says, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees. What he said, there's another group of people that's against them. There rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. So these are believing Christians. You know what's going to happen to you sometimes? You're going to run into some Christians that are messed up. They're deceived. They're filled with pride. They're filled with themselves, whatever it is, and they are messed up, and they're causing other people to go to hell because they won't preach the unadulterated truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they got messed up right here. And you see them. You see them get messed up all the time. You got one on the internet right now, messed up on the deity of Jesus Christ. And you see what happened to him. Got hanging around with the wrong crowd. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And he said this right here. It says, but there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So still the same thing's going on. In verse 6 it says this, and the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. So what's going on here? You got Paul and Barnabas. They go back to Jerusalem from Antioch. And you get all the apostles that were there with Jesus Christ, and not James, obviously, yeah, he got killed in Acts chapter 12, but the ones that's left. So they're there in Acts chapter 15, and you got this group of men together, and they're looking at this thing. Well, do we got to keep the law of Moses, or is it just salvation by grace through faith? That's the question right here in Acts chapter 15, and you're going to find out what the answer is. It says, verse 7, and when there had been much disputing, more arguing. Ain't supposed to argue about the Bible. Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. He's talking about Acts chapter 10, what we just read about a while ago. He's saying, look, he didn't reference back to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, who was he talking to? Men and brethren, Jews, right. Amen, brother. He was talking to Jews. He was still talking to Jews. He was still talking about John's baptism. And when he's right here and he steps up and he says, listen, I got some more news here, guys. I got some more revelation. And when he references back to explain what he's getting ready to talk about to answer this question, he don't go back to Acts chapter 2. He don't go back to the Church of Christ. He doesn't go back and teach baptismal regeneration. What's he do? He goes back to Acts chapter 10 and talks about where it's just by words that he preached, they believed, and the Holy Ghost fell on them that believed. And so he goes back right here and he says this. He says, and when there had been much disputing, verse 7, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith and the law of Moses. Don't say that, does it? You know what he's doing? He's making a declaration right here. He's saying their hearts, don't worry about the water pots over there that Jesus Christ changed and all that stuff. It ain't about that stuff no more. That ain't how you get purification no more. You don't get purified by that. You don't get purified by water. You don't get purified by works. Catholicism's wrong. Church of Christ is wrong. Mormons are wrong. Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong. Brother Jack, you think you're right and everybody else is wrong? Yep, I do. If I thought they'd right, I'd be over there. You say, well, why do you think you're right for? Is it pride? No, it's these words right here. It's right here. I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist. Why? Because the law's no good anymore. No more. It's not good anymore. I was down there in Belize last summer, and I get talking to a guy about the law. And here's what those people do. They keep you from looking at any other verses in the Bible. People around here tell you, don't get in the book of Revelation. Why? Because they know that the second coming is in the book of Revelation, and they don't want you to know about it. They don't want to have to argue with you about it because they don't know how to argue with you about it. So I'm sitting there with that Seventh-day Adventist down there in Belize, and I'm sitting there showing him Romans chapter 3. Hold your place there. Look over Romans 3 to your right there. This is what Paul says about the law. Get Romans chapter 3. Look at verse 20. He says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. How do you get the righteousness of God? Without the law. Without the law. Back to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. So what happens is, verse 10, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Who, you know what he's saying? He's saying, guys, first of all, you guys sitting here running your mouth, you don't even keep the law. What are you talking about? We got to tell them to keep the law. You don't even keep the law. We couldn't keep the law. Nobody can keep the law. Nobody's ever kept the law. Why are we going to put them under the same yoke of bondage that we're under? You know what he's doing? He's sitting here trying to tell them, look, stupid, you can't even do this. I remember one time Brother Dilbert and Brother Gary were in a debate with the Church of Christ. They had set up and they have this big debate, and they're sitting there with a moderator. I think it was Brother Cliff Todd. that's like being on trial in New York, ain't it? Might be a little biased right there. So you got this thing, and at the end of this thing, you know what they said? He said that Church of Christ elder said he'd done everything there was according to the Bible to do to get saved. They said, are you saved? And he said, I don't know. That's what you got right here. Peter's saying, what are you doing? Y'all can't even keep the law. He says, verse 10, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among them, among the Gentiles by them. So they get to start giving what their report on what happened on that first missionary journey. And then James, the Lord's brother, here in verse 13, we know, you say, well, how do you know it ain't John's brother? Because he died in Acts chapter 12. So it's not him. It says this in verse 13. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them and people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets. So what you have here is you got Peter that's explaining stuff to him that he got by revelation from God. Then you got Paul and Barnabas giving them a testimony on what's been going on. And now you got James here who's doing what? He's giving you scripture. He's giving you scripture and they're saying, guys, pretty obvious. This right here is salvation by grace through faith. And so they go through that and he goes into all this stuff here about the tabernacle, which has got to do with the tribulation and what's there in the future. And he goes on down through there. And basically at the end of this thing, guys, you can see what happens is what? After that moment right there, from that moment on, salvation by grace through faith. That's why that's so important. You get to Acts chapter 19, and Priscilla and Aquila get hooked up with a guy named Apollos who was a great orator. He was a great orator. But the problem was he was still preaching John's baptism in Acts chapter 19. And they pulled him over to the side and said, hey, some things changed back in Acts 15. You read that yet? Let me tell you what's going on. And they explained it to him more perfectly. And you know what he did? He just kept right on preaching, but he started preaching the right stuff after that. And you see over there in 1 Corinthians, he's one of those that's leading people to the Lord and stays on fire for the Lord. So this right here, you say, what about Catholics? They're wrong. I say this, Catholicism teaching is wrong. There's Catholics, I believe, that are saved. There are Church of Christ people that I believe are saved. I believe there's Mormons that are saved, Jehovah's Witnesses that are saved. But they didn't get saved by their religious, those religious sects and creeds and whatever it is they've been told to keep. They got saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ just like we did and got deceived and got put in that religion. Now I want to finish with this right here. Go all the way down to the bottom. Here's some things on that first journey that I'm going to tell you again real fast. In these last 5 minutes I got, I want to show you something. And this is going to help you, practically speaking tonight. This is going to help you. You need to keep your head on straight about stuff like this right here. Because look at this. So, opposition. They finished that first missionary journey under all kinds of opposition. And it never stopped them. I mean, to the point where Paul got stoned and got killed and got raised from the dead, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And you know what they did? They just kept right on preaching. They kept on going. They kept on staying with it. In Acts chapter 13, verse 8, the Bible says somebody withstood them. 1345, somebody spake against them. Acts 13:50, there was persecution against them. Acts 14:2, somebody had messed up some people that were evilly affected against them. 14:5, they were assaulted, is the Bible word for it. 14:5, they were stoned, or threatened to be stoned. 14:5, it says that they were going to be despitefully used. Verse 14:9, they actually stoned Paul. And in Acts 15:2, there was dissension and disputation. And you see all that stuff right there. And you know what happened? Couldn't take them out. Couldn't take them down. Couldn't get them to mess up. Couldn't get them to quit. Couldn't get them to say, they was on fire for the Lord. And with all that said, go down here to verse 36. They've got everything fixed. They've sat here and they've taught and done what missionaries do when they go home. What does missionaries do when they go home? Sit down on an easy chair and take it easy and watch Netflix? No, they stay busy. That's why Brother Allen and Sister Tracy, they stay busy when they're here. They help with camp that I know of. They help with Vacation Bible School that I know of. And I know they help other people too, and there's other things that's going on. They're going to go to churches and they're going to tell what's going on like Paul and Barnabas did. You say, what do? They preach and teach. Brother Allen will be up in his pulpit. You know what he's going to be doing? He's going to be preaching and teaching. That's what they do. And so they spent time back there at Antioch doing all that stuff. And then you know what happens? Nothing could stop these guys. Nothing. Except pride. Look what happens in verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And so what you got here is you got Paul and Barnabas. They're still together. Everything's good. They're best friends, BFFs. I mean, everything's good. Let's go back and do this again. And Barnabas is ready to go. But there's a young man that was on that first trip that left and quit and turned tail and ran. And Paul got mad at him. And it happened to be Barnabas' nephew. Hold your place here. Look at Colossians. Go to Colossians. Family will mess you up quicker than anything. It's easy to get prideful about your family. Especially your kids. Somebody say something about your kids. I joke, man. My wife, she is as easygoing as anybody that I've ever seen. But when it comes to her kids, man, she's Mama Bear. I start laughing. I say, calm down over there, Mama Bear. Easy now, easy killer. So here in Colossians, I'm in Corinthians. It'd be nice if I knew the books of the Bible. Colossians chapter 4, look at verse 10. The Bible says, Paul's talking about people that's with him. He says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, that's John Mark, sister's son to Barnabas. You know who that was? That's Barnabas' sister's son right there, is John Mark. So John Mark, the one that left on him, the reason that's with Barnabas is because that was his nephew. So Paul says, hey, let's get back on this thing. Let's go back on another missionary journey. Let's go fight, man. Let's go get out there in the middle of that thing. Barnabas says, yeah, let's do it. I'm going to take John Mark with us. Paul goes, what? You taking him? Yeah, I am too. No, you ain't. Yeah, I am. You say, what happened? Pride gets involved. Look at this. So go back to verse 37. Acts 15:37. It says, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. And I talk about all this arguing and disputing and all this stuff that's going on. As long as you've got the right heart and you're in it for the right reason, that's good. But I can tell you this too, it can also flank you to where all that arrogance coming from your pride. Look what he says right here. It says, verse 38, "But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them in Pamphylia and went not with them to the work." Look what it says in verse 39. "And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other." What? Assaulting couldn't do. Stoning couldn't do. Speaking against them. Persecution. Being despitefully used. Dissension and dispute. All that stuff couldn't take them out. But buddy, when their family got involved and they got a disagreement right there, pride got involved and it took them out. Split them up. You say, how do you know pride was involved? The book of Proverbs said, only by pride cometh contention. And what's it say? Verse 39, "And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other." Somebody's done something to you and your family, you know what? You'll stay in church and you'll stay in church and you'll be good and you'll be good. And all of a sudden somebody come up and tell you, "Let me tell you what so-and-so said to me in Sunday school class." And all of a sudden, pride gets involved. You know what's going to happen? You're going to get out. You got to be careful. "Well, that preacher said this. I bet he's thinking about..." No, he wasn't. Told you last week. I ain't never tried to shoot at anybody. Brother Dilbert ain't never tried to shoot at anybody. That's 30 years of preaching. Ain't never tried to shoot at you. All the preachers that preach up here, they're preaching the Word of God. That's Satan telling you that. That's your pride telling you that. Ain't nobody ever done that. You know what happens? When all this stuff, assault and being stoned and being left for dead, didn't affect them. That's just the principle of the matter, Brother Jack. That's right. Just the principle of the matter. And that'll get you out. There's people that's out of church right now. I had a guy come up to me, and I hadn't seen him for about 12 or 13 years. And he pulled me off to the side. I got to lead his kids to the Lord during church camp. And he pulled me off to the side and he said, "I need to apologize to you." I said, "Oh yeah? What was that? "Well, about 12 years ago, I got mad at you." "I've been mad at you for 12 years. Wouldn't come to church, wouldn't do stuff, ain't got a family no more." You know what that's called? It's called pride. And I'll tell you something, you need to watch it. You need to watch it in your life and you watch it in your kids' lives. Don't enable your kids to hold grudges, or to be bitter, or to be angry, or to be scornful. Man, teach them how to take the high road. Teach them how to esteem others better than themselves. Because coming back from that, you don't come back from stuff like that right there. And the Lord still used these guys. And obviously they got right. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul's at the end of his life, and he's dying. Well, he's not dying, he's in prison. He's getting ready to lose his head, so he's getting ready to die. And he knows it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 6. He's writing this letter to Timothy. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christians to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me." Look what he says right here in verse 11. "Take Mark and bring him with thee." Who's that? That's the guy that Paul didn't want to bring with him in the ministry. That's the one that Paul said, "You ain't bringing him," and ended up in a fight over it. And now he's saying, "Bring him." Why is he saying, "Bring him"? He says, "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable me for the ministry." So what happened? I just think Paul was wrong. Paul came to him and said, "Hey, let's go back on the missionary journey and check on people." So what was the first place that we said they went to? Was Cyprus. That's the first place they went, was Cyprus, on that first missionary journey. Barnabas and Mark, you know where they went? They went to Cyprus. Paul went the back way, up to the top, and went across the top instead of going to that island like he said before, and went on a different journey. The Lord still used Paul. I'm not saying they messed him up. He's out of the ministry. What I'm saying is, Paul was wrong. He was wrong because of pride. And it's real easy when you get in the ministry and you're doing some work for God, and there's other people that you get frustrated with, and you get angry at, or you may get jealous of, or you don't know why they get this and they do that, or all this stuff. And Satan can get a foothold on that stuff and can mess you up. Because why? I'm being overlooked, or I don't know why they talking about this guy. You know, I've led people to the Lord. Nobody ever says anything to me. I don't know. All that stuff. All I know is this right here. You better be careful. There's not a lot of negative things in this book about the Apostle Paul. But when pride got involved, it messed him up, and it messed up Barnabas. Messed up both of them. You say, yeah, but it all worked out. It don't always work out. It don't always work out. It worked out there. So here in Acts chapter 15, before we get to Acts chapter 16, get on that second missionary journey, here's what we got to realize. Number one, salvation is by grace through faith. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, that's it. If you're here tonight and you're lost, I can tell you how to get saved. Most people in this church tell you how to get saved. Don't walk out those doors being lost. Amen. Grab a hold of somebody, and if they don't know, they'll say, let me get you a hold of somebody else, and they'll show you how to get saved. Don't leave being lost. Don't go out that door with the opportunity to die in a car wreck and go to hell. Get that thing fixed tonight. And the other thing is this right here. Everybody's feet of clay. And if we're going to keep this thing going, man, we got to esteem others better than ourselves. We got to look to those elders, the people that we've put in charge, the people that we've elected, the people that we think that God's hands on. We said, listen, these are the people that's going to represent us. They're going to get plans. There's going to be plans. There's going to be prayers that get answered for them, and God ain't going to tell you. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Well, what about contemporary music? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You say, who's going to take care of it? We're going to take care of it. We'll tell you what's right and tell you what we're not going to have. You say, why? Because there's got to be rules. There's got to be rules. Well, I'm going to listen to it when I'm in my car. Well, buddy, I ain't checking your car. We ain't checking on you. You listen to what. But in the church, there's going to be some convictions and there's going to be some standards so everybody can be on board. And you say, what is it? That's called Scripture. That's the way it is. That's the way it works. And everybody that I know of, that when I was cutting my teeth, Brother Gary Boyd, you know what he preached? That's what he preached. You submit yourself unto your pastor. That's what you preach. No matter how hard it is and how awkward it is right now, I'm sitting up here talking. That's just the way it is. That's what you learn in Acts chapter 6. That's what you learn in Acts chapter 15. As soon as there's a problem, they said, get them boys down there to them apostles. let's get an answer for this thing. Let's get this fixed. And from then on, we're just going to go head over heels doing what? Doing what they said is what we're going to do. Everybody just got on board with it and pulled the same way. And that's the way it works. All right, let's go ahead and take up some prayer requests.